ABC. How are we doing today? Man, that was not bad for early. But we know there's a competition all weekend. So let's hear it. How are we doing today, VC? Yeah. That's how I'm feeling today, so I'm glad you are too. I'm super glad that you're here. Whether you're joining us here in the room or online, you know, those of you that regularly attend in person, you may not know this, but we have an amazing online church family. We have people both locally who, for one reason or another, are unable to join us regularly in person. But listen, we also have online family that join us all around the country and actually all around the world. I was chatting with some of them just a little bit during the service, saying hi and good morning to everybody. One of our online hosts, it's actually snowing where he is. So, you know, we can all feel sorry for him. And I know some of you showed up in shorts and flip-flops today. So, it's all right. We're praying for you, Ross. We hang in there. Hang in there. But can we show a little bit of love for our online family? Just let them know that we're glad that they're here. We are so glad that you're here with us, worshiping with us, learning together with us. It really means a lot that we're able to join together as a church family here at this campus at VC, our Reveal campus out in El Mirage Surprise area, and our online family, that we get to do this thing we call church together. So if you are a guest, if you happen to be a guest, whether you're here in the room or joining us online, super glad that you chose to spend a part of your weekend. You chose to kick off Women's History Month with us here at VC. We hope you enjoy the service. Our highest hope is always that you would experience God's presence. My name is Keith Shepherd. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you happen to have been with us last weekend or caught up online or anything, you know that our senior pastor, Brian, has been sick. He's still a little bit under the weather today, but he is turning a corner. Talked to Pastor Thora a little bit earlier. He is starting to feel a little bit better. We're going to continue to pray for him for healing, for restoration. In a few minutes, we're going to be receiving our tithes and offerings. But before we do that, just a few weeks ago, we had the awesome opportunity as a church family to celebrate together men, women, kids, and teens who have said yes to following Jesus and went public with that decision by being water baptized. So we got a little celebratory video we're going to watch together. Let's check this out. Personally, I have two things that I absolutely love about celebrating our water baptisms here. First, celebrating lives that Jesus is transforming, right? Second, wet hugs. I gotta tell you, if you have given your life to Jesus, but for whatever reason you haven't either received or given a soaking wet hug, man, that's your next step. So you can go online or our website, vineyardnorthphoenix.com, anytime. Take our online water baptism class. It only takes about 20, 25 minutes. We also have an online kids water baptism class just for them. And then there's a form to fill out at the end of the class. You can register so that we can celebrate you in about 3 weeks and watch you give some wet hugs as we continue to celebrate God transforming lives through our church family. Ushers, why don't you go ahead and make your way down to the front. Let's pray for our giving. Let's pray for Pastor Brian, and let's pray for the teaching today. And I just want to say to those of you who already faithfully and generously give to God through the Vineyard, you're awesome. This is one of the simplest ways that we partner with God to transform ordinary people into extraordinary followers of Christ. Just one of the pieces of that is our water baptisms, getting to celebrate lives that Jesus is in the process of transforming. And we do all kinds of other things throughout the week and throughout the year to really make a difference in our community. And we get to do that because we give. So thank you for giving. I pray God continues to bless you as you give. Let's pray and just invite more of the Lord's presence. God, we love you, and as we celebrate transformed lives, as we celebrate all that you're up to, God, we thank you for being able to partner with you to make a difference in the lives of individuals and families here in our community, but also all around the world. God, we ask that you continue to use what we give to make a difference. God, we lift up Pastor Brian to you, and we thank you that he is feeling a little bit better. We prayed continue healing over him in the name of Jesus. God, let your kingdom come. God, break in and heal him, restore him, refresh him. And God, as we worship together by studying from your word, we want to hear from you. So speak to us, God, from the Bible. Let each of us hear what you have brought us together to hear. God, I pray for myself that you would give me the gift of teaching. God, that this would be from you and for you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, last weekend we started a series called An Unexpected Hero. Pastor Brian kicked us off starting studying in the book of Jonah. So if you've got your Bible with you, you got a device, an app with the Bible on it, go ahead and open that up to the book of Jonah. It's an Old Testament book. And we're going to be continuing that together today. You know, last weekend, one of the things that we talked about is one of the problems that we have with Jonah, with his story, is that we have a tendency to everyone has this tendency to think that we already know the story of Jonah. But we don't. At least not really. You know, you can ask the average person who they usually associate the story of Jonah with another character in the story. And who is that character that they typically think about? The whale, right. You know, if you ask somebody about the story of Jonah, they'll say, yeah, it's the story of Jonah and the whale. You know, the whale's name is Monstro. And Jonah's running away from Geppetto, his father. And Jonah really, really wants to be a real boy. Maybe that's not the story of Jonah. I think I'm thinking of another story. Do you know that the story of Jonah does not actually mention the word whale in it? And that's actually important. We're going to come back to that later. So put a little mental bookmark there so we can revisit that later. Last weekend we looked at the first chapter of Jonah. So I want to give you a little summary of what we talked about last weekend. Here's what happens. God says go. Jonah says no. God says, blow. Jonah says, so? Captain says, bro. Jonah says, throw. Sailors say, whoa. Now you know what all about the first chapter of Jonah is all about. That's the whole thing. No, the word of God comes to Jonah, a prophet, and God tells Jonah to go to this city, Nineveh, this strange foreign city. And God tells Jonah to tell the Ninevites, the people that live in that city, about God and about God's love. And Jonah doesn't want to do that. So instead, he gets on a ship that's going to Tarshish, which is actually in the opposite direction of Nineveh. Jonah gets the word of God from this town called Gath-Hepher, and instead of going to Nineveh, he goes down to this town called Joppa and gets on a ship headed long ways in the other direction to Tarshish. And then God sends a storm, and the ship is gonna go down. Jonah tells the sailors, this is my fault. Throw me over the side of the ship. And these pagan sailors, they end up being converted to worshiping the God of Israel, the one true God. It's an amazing story. And Jonah goes over the side of the ship and the storm immediately stops. And Jonah is going down into the sea and he thinks he is going to die. And that is where we left off. So now, if you're familiar with this story a little bit, if you're not familiar with it at all, I want you to just kind of pretend like you've never heard this story before. I want you to imagine you know nothing about this story except what we already read about Jonah getting thrown into the sea. And imagine this is the first time that you've heard this. And we're going to pick it up in verse 17 of Jonah chapter 1. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, if you've never read this story before or never heard anybody tell this story, well, this would be kind of an unusual, unexpected detail to this story, right? And you need to know, it's supposed to be. And we're going to get back to that later. So another mental bookmark on that so we can get back to it later. In verse 17, it says that the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. That word appointed, that's the Hebrew word for commissioned. See, in Hebrew, this word would be associated, this would be the word that we use to describe when a king would send a messenger or an ambassador to someone somewhere else, to another land, to another country. The king would appoint that ambassador, that messenger. So this is a word that normally we would use to describe something about a person. But here, it's used for a fish. And so the picture is this. God is speaking to this fish, and he's saying, "Hey, fish." And the fish says, "Yes, Lord." That's what fish say when God calls them out. And God says, "I want you to go pick up Jonah. Directions are going to be given on a need-to-know basis. But, fish, this is really important. Swallow, don't chew. And then I'm going to tell you where to drop him off when the time comes." The fish says, "Okay, Lord." God appoints, God commissions this fish. It's kind of a weird story, right? I want to pause here and talk about something that's pretty serious because of the nature of this story, the weirdness of this story. Oftentimes it's easy for people to say, I don't know about this. I don't know. I mean, I know I'm in church, and I don't know if it's okay to say this in church, but I just don't know about this. The idea of a fish swallowing a man and that man living inside of the fish for 3 days, that's pretty hard to believe. That's pretty hard to swallow. I'm so glad you guys got that joke. And listen, I totally understand that kind of thinking. And if you're thinking thoughts like that today, I want to say something to you. First, welcome to the Vineyard. I'm so glad that you're here. I want you to know I am glad that you're here because we want to be the kind of church where nobody has to pretend that they believe anything. You don't have to pretend that you believe anything. You don't have to think that I want you to believe something and therefore you have to pretend that you believe it to make me happy. No, I'd rather you struggle with it a little bit. I'd rather you say, "This is kind of weird. I don't know if I get it." We want to be the kind of church, excuse me, where we're honest about what we really think. We want to be the kind of church where we're honest about what we really believe. And I want you to know what we really think and what we really believe, that really matters. It really matters to God, and it matters to us. We want to be the kind of church that studies the Bible in a very thoughtful way. We want to be the kind of church where we don't require you to put your brain on the shelf when we study the Bible. We want to be the kind of church when we read about a fish swallowing a man and the man living in the fish for 3 days, we kind of go, "Huh, that's a little weird." So I'm glad you're here. Maybe you grew up in church and you heard rumors or urban legends of scientists, finding a type of ancient fish that a person could actually live inside of for several days. People have said stuff like this in order to try to defend the book of Jonah. But I got to tell you, according to the best ethological knowledge that we have available, there is no such fish and there never has been such a fish in the world that we have any evidence of. See, the point of Jonah is not that there really could be a fish in the world that a human being could survive in for 3 days. That's not the point. The point is it would take a miracle for this to happen. That's the point. And the real question this generates is, are miracles possible? Because you see, at the heart of Christianity is this claim. that there is a God, that he is an all-powerful God, and that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and that there are eyewitnesses to this. This happened in history. And that same God has revealed himself uniquely in the Bible. So to God, nothing is impossible. If he can raise Jesus from the dead, well, then he can keep a guy alive for 3 days in a fish locker. So I want to encourage all of us here to not get hung up on the strangeness of this story. In fact, to embrace the strangeness of the story, to not worry about what genre to put this story in or what kind of fish this was or those kinds of details, because if you get hung up on those things, you're going to miss the whole point of the story of Jonah. Because in this book, here is the point. God is up to something great. That's the whole point of the book of Jonah. That God is up to something great. We saw that last week, that the primary word associated with God in this story was the word great. It's the Hebrew word gadol. The primary word associated with God is this word great. The story begins with God saying to Jonah, I want you to go to the great city of Nineveh. Why? Because it turns out that God has a great heart for this great city. And then Jonah runs the other way, so the Bible says that God sends a great storm. And then these pagan sailors are converted to the true God through their great fear. And then God appoints a great fish for Jonah. God is doing something great in this story. Jonah, on the other hand, Jonah messes everything up. If the main word for God in this book is the word great, then the main word for Jonah, the word that keeps coming up for Jonah, is the word down. Jonah is going down. God says to Jonah, go to Nineveh, and Jonah goes down to Joppa instead. Then Jonah goes in a ship down to Tarshish, and then in the ship he goes down into the bottom of the ship and he goes to sleep. And then he goes down into the sea, and then he goes down into the fish. This is all pointing to the fact that Jonah has hit the bottom. God is great. Jonah is going down. And you need to know this. To the Israelites, this story was originally written to the Israelites, to the Hebrew mind. The thought of the sea was a place of great fear. They associated the sea with chaos and death and the grave. So for Jonah to get thrown into the sea, into this place of chaos, into this place of death, into the grave essentially, that would be a very frightening thing. And so that's where Jonah is, in the sea, inside of a fish. And guess what Jonah does while he's in this fish? He prays. From the guts of the fish, Jonah prays to God. Picking up in Jonah chapter 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord. Now remember from last week, when we see the Lord written that way, it's God's personal name, Yahweh. Then Jonah prayed to Yahweh, his God, from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol, that's the grave. You heard my voice, for you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again towards your holy temple. Again, this is a strange story. This is a weird story, praying from the guts of a fish. And it kind of seems like Jonah had gone a long time without praying honestly to God. He had gotten this word from God to go to Nineveh, but then he goes to Joppa. He gets on a ship to Tarshish. He doesn't pray about going to Joppa. He doesn't pray about getting on a ship. He doesn't pray about going to Tarshish. Jonah is not really talking to God at all at this time. And then he ends up inside this fish. So why would Jonah pray while he's inside the fish? What else are you going to do inside a fish? He had nowhere else to turn. Think about it. Why is it that we so often have a hard time praying? I mean, I don't know about you, but I know for me, sometimes the reason I have a hard time praying is because there's just so many other things to do, right? I mean, at any moment, at any time, we can just pull a screen out of anywhere and watch anything ever. There's just so much that we can do. There are so many noises that we can produce that keep us busy, that keep us distracted. And because of these options, we can avoid having to face what's going on inside of us. We don't have to pray. We can just do other things. We just have to do other things. So God brings Jonah down, down, down to a place of desperation inside a fish. And the honest truth is Jonah turns to God because he has nowhere else to turn. Can you relate to that? Have you ever turned to God because you ran out of all of your other options? The entire first chapter of Jonah is all about human action. Jonah makes plans. Jonah has resources. Jonah is going places. And it all turns out to be a disaster. And then the storm hits. And Jonah's story comes to a halt. Can you relate to that? Was there a time in your life when you made plans? Was there a time in your life when you had resources? Was there a time in your life when you were going places, whatever places you wanted to go, and then the storm hit? In the second chapter of Jonah, there is no action at all. It's just prayer. And that is when the good stuff starts to happen for Jonah. Jonah goes as low as he can go. And that is the point of this story to the Israelites. It is all about hitting bottom and turning to God. And that's where Jonah is. He is in the sea. And that is what the sea was to the Israelites, a place of chaos, a place of death. Look at the next part of Jonah's prayer in verses 5 through 7. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought me up to life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered Yahweh, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Jonah comes to realize that what looks so terrible, the wind, the storm, getting thrown overboard, was actually the best thing that ever happened to him. Can you relate to that? Have you ever hit a point in your life when something awful happened and that awful thing was actually the best possible thing that could have happened to you in that moment? That awful thing actually protected you from something far worse, from going deeper into a darker path, from continuing a lifestyle that was going to wreck your life. Getting thrown overboard, to drown, to be swallowed by a fish was the best, worst thing that could have happened to Jonah because it brought him back to God. And God was doing great things. Have you ever been really low in your life? Are you there right now? What should you do when you're really low? Pray. And maybe you say, but it's my fault. I'm the one who brought this on myself. I'm the one who got me here. I'm the one who got me this low. Well, listen, maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Pray anyway. Look at Jonah. You say, I haven't been living the kind of life that God wants me to live. Okay. First of all, I'm so glad you're here. Second of all, pray anyway. You say, but if I pray, I'm going to be praying selfishly. I'm going to be praying to get out of this trouble I'm in. Okay. Pray anyway. Remember this. The fact is, the truth is this, God is never more than a prayer away. One of the amazing things about God is that he is gracious. One of the amazing things about God is that he is humble. He is forgiving. He is kind. Even when we come to God only because we've hit rock bottom, God says, okay, I'm glad you've come to me because I'm the answer to every problem in your life. Do you need to come to God today? Do you need to come back to God today? If so, you can. He wants you to. And so that's what Jonah does. He comes back to God. And God hears. And Jonah gets delivered. But again, this is a weird book. What happens next in this story, honestly, it's... weird isn't the right word. It's goofy. It's next level. And if I were writing this story, if I were just telling you this story, I wouldn't mention it. I wouldn't write this detail into it because it's... well, we got to talk about it because it's in the Bible. See, Jonah gets delivered on the third day. Now, the third day in the Bible is a big day. Oftentimes, especially in the Old Testament, whenever there was a dramatic rescue on the part of God, it would come on the third day. So a reader reading this story as any normal Bible story that Jonah, they would expect that something's going to happen on the third day. Some kind of dramatic rescue is going to happen on the third day. Maybe an angel is going to visit him and deliver him triumphantly out of the fish's belly. You know, maybe Jonah's going to fly home on a chariot of fire. Maybe Jonah's just going to get like transported Star Trek style from the belly of the fish to another place. But that's not how it works in this story. Look at verse 10. It's God's word, guys. We're reading the Bible. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Now, I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like that's a little more detail than I needed. It's almost like this is the middle school version of this story. Because the word, I mean, come on, vomit is a funny word, right? I mean, not when you're doing it or your kids are doing it, but when you just say it, it's a funny word. And why is it that the English translation of the Bible often use the word vomit here? Because that's the word in the original Hebrew text. Actually, the Hebrew word is a little more graphic than vomit. Vomit's kind of tame. It's more like puked or barfed in Hebrew. The writer is hitting us over the head with this. He's wanting to make sure that we really get this. Jonah didn't get dropped off by an angel. He didn't get transported somewhere. He didn't fly home in a chariot of fire. The fish blew chunks. He lost his lunch. Just, you know, kind of. Jonah ends up on the shore. Can you imagine what he looked like? He's like covered in shrimp cocktail and tuna tartare, whatever the fish had eaten. Is it too early for that? I'm sorry. There's a reason why the writer says this, and the reason is important. Because, listen, the most basic way that you can divide up every single story ever is into two categories. Every story is either a tragedy where joy loses, life loses, hope loses, or the flip side, it is a comedy where joy wins, life wins. Hope wins. Now, what do you think the story of Jonah is? Do you think that it's a tragedy or a comedy? It's a comedy. Jonah keeps going down, but then these funny things keep happening. Jonah, who ought to be the hero of the story, right? Like this amazing knight, superhero kind of person, because he's a prophet of God. He's told by God to go east, but he runs west. That's kind of strange. It's kind of funny. A prophet who ought to know better thinks that he can run away from God by sailing in the other direction. And then a Gentile ship captain is telling this man of God, a Gentile ship captain who worships some other whatever national local god, and the rest of the crew worship all of their small g gods, and they say to the prophet of the true God, hey, pray to your God. And the pagan sailors, who in the ancient world were not noted for their holiness, it's nothing like sailors today. They get converted to the God of Israel, the one true God. Jonah thinks he's going to drown. God sends a great fish. And this fish eventually delivers Jonah onto the shore by vomiting. If that ain't funny, I don't know what is. Let me remind you that to Israel, going down into the sea is the absolute worst. To end up in the heart of the sea, to the Israelites, that's the depth of the grave. That's the worst place that you can go. And then it turns out that when human beings are going down, 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 God is up to something great. And from God's perspective, the sea, chaos, death, the grave, Sheol, that's not a problem at all. From God's perspective, stiff-necked human beings, rebellious, stubborn human beings. That's not a problem at all. God laughs at all of it. God laughs at the grave. God laughs at the sea. God laughs at the chaos. God laughs at death. And eventually, Jonah ends up getting barfed onto the shore. It's a comedy. And joy wins. And one day, we will understand fully that joy wins. Jonah is a book of joy. It is a comedy in the most transcendent, wonderful sense of that word. And one of the reasons it's a comedy is because there is another character between every line of the book. Jonah, the prophet, he's from a town called Gath Hepher, which is a few miles away from a place called Nazareth. Now, does anybody remember another prophet who came from that area, who came from Nazareth? Okay, you're in church. So the answer, 9 times out of 10, is Jesus. Does anybody else remember another prophet who was from that same area, from Nazareth? Jesus. Good job. Jonah falls asleep on a boat in a storm, and everybody else on the boat panicked. And when he woke up, by his actions, the storm is stilled. Does anybody remember a similar story of somebody falling asleep on a boat and everybody on the boat panicking, and that person, their actions leads to the storm being stilled? His name was? I was trying to set it up for you. You guys did it. Good. Okay. Jonah's name in Hebrew means the dove. Now, does anybody else remember someone who went down into the water, and when he came up out of the water, a dove descended upon him, and a voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." It's Jesus. Jesus said toward the end of his life that he had one sign to give to this sorry, tragic world. Look at what he says in Matthew 12. "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then comes the third day. See, the message of Jonah is a little foretaste of the victory of Jesus, who comes to meet us at the lowest place. And Jesus tells us that death loses. Sin loses. Sorrow loses. Brokenness loses. Sadness loses. Lostness loses. And he tells us that joy wins. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, quotes the prophet Hosea, and he says, "Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting?" God gets the last laugh. That is the story of Jonah. In the early church in Rome, because of persecution, they used to meet in a place called the catacombs. You know what catacombs are? They're tombs. They're underground burial places. The early church used to meet there to worship. Doesn't that seem like an odd place to worship, especially if you want to grow the church, right? Hey, do you want to come to church with me? Sure, where do you meet? We meet where the dead people are. But they had to meet there because of persecution. They had to meet in a hidden place. You've heard the phrase, the underground church. That's where it comes from. Literally, they met underground. The first art that was inspired by Jesus was not art that appeared in great cathedrals or enormous frescoes. The first art inspired by Jesus was art that was drawn, etched, carved into tombs in hidden catacombs. And listen, do you know which Old Testament figure was most often etched into the walls of the catacombs, more than any other figure in the Old Testament? It wasn't Moses, it wasn't David, it wasn't Abraham. Now, I know I told you that you're in church, and 9 times out of 10, the answer is Jesus. But we're talking about Old Testament now, so the answer is not Jesus. This is the 1 time out of 10, all right? Do you know what figure the early church associated with resurrection on the third day out of the Old Testament? What figure in God's holy scripture they associated with deliverance from death? Jonah. Because the Israelites, they got the joke. They understood that deliverance is coming. They understood resurrection is coming. The third day is coming. Jesus is all over the book of Jonah. Death is mocked. What if when the resurrection comes one day, what if when the dead rise in Christ, as will happen one day, what if in that day disease and aging and cancer and heart disease and dementia and Alzheimer's, they've all done their worst to us and we all go down into the grave and then we come back out on the other side? What if in that day life is so good, our healing, our redemption is so complete, our new bodies are so wonderful? What if the community of the saints is so rich? What if our fellowship with God in that day is so sweet that we look at each other and we say, "That's what I was afraid of? I thought death was awful. It's a joke. Death has no power over God. Death is just a door to life." That's the book of Jonah. Jonah hits bottom, and there God is greater than ever before. So what do we do now? We're in over our heads. What do? We pray. We turn to Jesus. I want to tell you about a couple of Jonahs in our church. Not actual Jonahs. It's not their actual names. But there was a Jonah who was very, very successful in their vocation. And this Jonah was on a ship headed to Tarshish, headed in the wrong direction. And the sea that this ship was on was alcohol. This Jonah couldn't stay away from it. And they just kept going down and down and down and down. And then finally came to a place where they knew they couldn't beat alcohol on their own, and somebody told them about the vineyard. And they came to the vineyard, and they found Jesus, and they got delivered, and their life was now saved, their eternity was now saved, their marriage was saved, and this person is a leader in our church now. He goes down as far as he can go, and to his great surprise, going down to the bottom was the greatest thing that ever happened, because there he met Jesus, and it turns out that God was doing something great. Now, there's another person from our church that I want to tell you about, and this person had been diagnosed with cancer, and they battled cancer, and they beat cancer. And then they were diagnosed many, many years later with cancer again. And the cancer just kept taking its toll and kept taking its toll. And eventually it was clear that the cancer was going to take their life. But see, this person, every time I would talk to them, they would talk about this idea that they had about God's Trinity of healing. And they would say that God is either going to heal me now or later. God is either going to heal me on earth or in heaven. God is either going to heal me with medicine or with a miracle. Those are the three parts of the Trinity of healing. And they never lost faith. They never lost trust that God was going to take care of them. They kept their joy all the way to the end. And that person, my friend, Barb, did lose their life to cancer last year. But she is healed and restored, fully perfect in the presence of her King, Jesus, today. The truth is that we're all in over our heads. If not now, we will be. But no matter what's going on in our lives, if you are a follower of Jesus, joy always wins in the end. That's the story of Jonah. It takes what looks like a tragedy and turns it into a comedy. And that's our lives. That's your life if you want it. That's the sign of Jonah. Jesus says, if you'll let me, I will meet you at the cross, at my lowest. I will meet you at the tomb, at my absolute lowest. And just you wait, because the third day is coming, if you'll follow me. Let's pray. Just as best as you can right now, turn your thoughts, turn your mind to Jesus. Do whatever you have to block out distractions. Maybe bow your head, close your eyes, and just focus on him. Because there is something that Jesus wants to do in your story. If your story is at that low place, if you have hit bottom, Jesus wants to turn your tragedy into a comedy. But you've got to let him. So Holy Spirit, I just pray right now for those whom you are speaking to, especially those who are really hurting right now. God, we cry out to you from the belly of the fish. We cry out to you because we have nothing else left to do, and ask for your help. We ask for your rescue. We ask for the third day to come. Just spend a little bit of time talking to him right now. Ministry team, can you go ahead and start making your way down to the front just so you're ready to go? Online team, just get ready. We would be honored to come alongside you in whatever is happening in your life. We would be honored to pray for you. This team down front, that's our ministry team, they would be happy to talk to you about whatever it is and come alongside you, lift this situation up to God and pray for you. If you're online, our host team is ready to go. You just have to click that prayer button, and that will give them a chance to get into a private one-on-one chat with you so that they can talk to you and pray for you there. If you're able to, will you please stand so we can pray a blessing and close the service. God, I thank you so much for all that you are up to already. God, I thank you for my friends here in the room, our friends online, and God, I just pray your blessings over whatever move you have started today. God, we say more, Lord, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Go with us as we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.